May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O our Creator. Please be seated. It seems to me that Jesus really liked to party. At least we can infer this from the fact that of all the images Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God, the most common one is that of the banquet. To me, this is both a little puzzling and also very attractive. Who doesn't love a good party? Many of the banquets Jesus describes are wedding feasts, like the one at Cana in which he saves the party and the host from humiliation by turning water into wine, his first public act in the Gospel of John. And who can forget the parable of the wedding feast in which all of the well-to-do, important invitees don't show up because they have better things to do? So the master tells his servants to search the back roads and the alleyways for the poor, the lame, the misfits, and the outcasts, and to welcome them into the grand celebration in place of the rich. As a child, I always loved that parable. I loved the imagery of all those poor and unwanted people streaming into the fancy banquet hall, dining on fine china and linen, and eating and drinking fine foods to their heart's content. I loved how that story turned the normal way of things upside down, how it raised people up who were normally so downtrodden and left out, and how the smug and self-important people were, in the end, the ones who really missed out. In today's gospel, Jesus is invited to dine at the home of a religious leader where there are, apparently, a number of local VIPs all vying for the seats of honor at the table of the host. We're also told that they were watching Jesus carefully to see what he would do. One's seating position at a dinner or a banquet said much about their social status, their authority, and their role in the community. But rather than inserting himself into the pecking order or openly challenging the person who was taking the preferred seat's behavior, Jesus waits and observes. Direct confrontation would cause a scene and would be disrespectful to the family and the host. Instead, Jesus offers a parable for all present to hear. He uses the metaphor of the banquet to juxtapose the typical social conventions in which there are in-crowds and outcasts, winners and losers, with his vision of the reign of God, freely given and available to all, no questions asked. Jesus doesn't pull the metaphor of the banquet out of thin air. Rather, he's drawing on an image from Isaiah and other Hebrew prophets that his contemporaries would certainly have been familiar with. This passage from Isaiah, for example. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. While seated around a table for the Sabbath meal, Jesus takes this image of the future banquet from Isaiah and breathes new life into it by proclaiming that this beautiful vision of God's abundance, justice, and mercy is at hand. But it may not be what some people expect. Okay, let's pause for a moment here. As we heard from Fawn, today is Creation Sunday, celebrated not only by Anglicans, but by many other Christian denominations all around the world. Today is a day when we Anglicans can particularly reflect on our fifth mark of mission, which is to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. As I prayed and reflected over today's readings in preparing for this special Sunday, it struck me that perhaps the metaphor of the banquet can also say something about our broken relationship with the rest of creation, and may offer us some direction and inspiration as we seek to be faithful to our call to sustain and renew the life of the earth. We can begin by acknowledging that all of the banquet metaphors in the Gospels reveal the great abundance and goodness of what God provides. Banquets, of course, are a time of plenty, even of excess, and Jesus would seem to suggest that to share in the banquet is to share in God's extravagant, elaborate, and overflowing generosity, no matter who we are. And I would observe that life on earth is itself a great gift, a lavish banquet that we've all been invited to joyfully partake in. And for some reason, known only to God's wisdom, we human beings emerged on planet Earth some 200,000 years ago at a time of the planet's greatest diversity, complexity, and majesty in its 4.5 billion-year-old history. We've been born into a web of life of incredible abundance and beauty. It's no surprise that our creation stories in Genesis deeply affirm this when God pronounces creation in its entirety and complexity as exceedingly good, or maltov. As Matthew Fox and many other theologians have been clear in pointing out, we're not burdened by original sin. That, in fact, was a much later doctrinal invention of the church around the 5th century. But rather, we are graced with original blessing. And what might be a fitting response to our invitation to this extravagant and blessed banquet of life? To come, to show up, to encounter all of God's creation in its fullness and splendor, and to realize our own place in it. To share in this banquet with all of our fellow creatures, and to know them in all of their God-given glory and uniqueness. How sad it seems to me that for so many today, creation or nature is seen merely as a backdrop to the busy lives that we live and has little to do with who we are and less still with who God is. Children so removed from the physical world that they're developing what psychologists refer to as nature deficit disorder. So much beauty and mystery surrounds us, but we're becoming tone deaf to its song. As Pope Francis beautifully reflects, we have forgotten that we ourselves are dust of the earth, as the Genesis story tells us. Our very bodies are made up of her elements. We breathe her air and we receive life and refreshment from her waters. Nature cannot be regarded as something separate from ourselves, or as a mere setting in which we live. We are part of nature, included in it, and thus in constant interaction with it. To more deeply participate in this life banquet is to become more fully aware of the abundance and the preciousness of this great gift and of our intimate connection to all of life. To be moved to tears, perhaps, by the breaching of an orca, enthralled by the hummingbirds dancing outside our windows, or held in rapture by another of Powell River's stunning sunsets. With such beauty and magnificence beyond words, deep abiding gratitude for this blessed earth may be our only response, and a necessary starting place to healing our relationship with creation. In today's gospel and elsewhere, Jesus asserts that when giving a banquet, we not only invite our friends, relatives, or rich neighbors, all of whom will someday pay us back. But rather, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. In other words, attendance at the banquet cannot be exclusive, with only the deserving or the privileged who come to feast, while the rest are abandoned and hungry. The abundance of the banquet can provide for all, if we're willing to share. As Gandhi observed, the world has enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. It's increasingly clear today that the world can no longer support economies of greed and inequity that make small numbers of people excessively rich, while much of the world's population struggles to survive. Like the farmer in Luke's gospel we heard about a few weeks ago, who is bent on building bigger and bigger barns to store up more and more grain, somehow we've come to a place in our culture and time where excess is celebrated and held up as progress, while doing incredible damage to the life systems of the planet and pushing many species to the point of extinction. Such a mindset is antithetical to the banquet image of the kingdom of God, where all are welcome, where all have a place, and where we can be grateful for our lives without depriving others of their needs as well. A similar principle was echoed in our first reading today. Jeremiah rails against his people for forgetting the sacred trust they were given by God when they came into the land of Canaan. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The land and the community are fractured, and the future is in peril when we forget that all life is a great gift and a sacred trust. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Where there is no water, there can be no life. Finally, the banquet metaphor calls us to come to the table in the spirit of humility. Jesus says to those gathered at the Sabbath meal, "When you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you." It's beyond a doubt that we human beings have cultivated a false sense of superiority over the rest of creation for far too long. Our thinking, our social structures, our economies, and even our religions usually place human beings at the top of a pyramid, while all other life forms are placed far below us. Such pride and hubris has had devastating consequences on our relationship with all living things. Ecosystems and species become defined purely as resources for our use and consumption, rather than having subjectivity and value in and of themselves. To this end, we've justified enormous destruction on the planet and continue to do so to the point of our own demise. Yet, throughout our ancient tradition, there has long been the assertion that not only does all creation matter to God, but that the divine can be known in and through the created world. As Anglicans, we profess an incarnational theology, a view that God is made flesh in and through the created world, from the far reaches of the cosmos, to the very cells in our body, to the trees and the birds, and all others we share our earthly home with. All matter is anointed with the divine spirit. 20th century Jesuit priest and geologist Teilhard de Chardin, in examining the French landscape of his wandering, expresses this passionately. He says, "Over every living thing which is to spring up, to grow, to flower, to ripen during this day, say again the words, 'This is my body. And over every death force, which waits in readiness to corrode, to wither, to cut down, speak again your commanding words which express the supreme mystery of faith. This is my blood. On this Creation Sunday, we can reaffirm and rejoice in all that remains of this blessed Garden of Eden that we have been born into. We can listen for God's Spirit calling us and all of the Church to act boldly for the protection of life at a time when the future for so many species, ourselves included, is uncertain and the way forward is unclear. At other times, we may be called to lay down by the river of Babylon and weep for how much we have lost and for the loss that lies ahead. And through this grief, we may yet catch a glimpse of the way home. For the promise of life is never ending. The banquet table remains ever laid for our welcome. The kingdom of God is always at hand. Let us pray. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us as we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.